Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I hurt myself. It doesn't hurt. I buy what I want. I don't want it. I do what I like. I don't like it. I'm just so bored.
This ain't waking over, that's me.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 181 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Kirkby Kiss from New Jersey. The song was called Fucking Headache, and it's off of their upcoming EP that'll see the light of day on July 23rd. They've got another EP that they released earlier this year, back in April, and they've only been around for about 8 months, so that's pretty efficient work for a very young band. Not necessarily young guys, but a young band. How about that? I like what they're doing. A little classic, hardcore punk, rock and roll, whatever you want to call it. I enjoy it. A little noise rock in there, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching. Because on this episode, we're talking about noise rock. It's been a while. It's been a couple of episodes since we've had a noise rock band on. But on this episode, I have Big Water from Kansas City, Missouri. Yes, every member of Big Water is on this episode. Don't worry, there's only three. And they did a good job of taking turns talking. And sometimes that can be a mess. It wasn't this time around. But we're going to talk about their band and their new album, and I'm all out of shit to fuck up, out now on Reptilian Records. But I want to thank Kirkby Kiss for sending their music to play on the podcast, and remind anybody out there that if you have music that you would like to get played on the podcast, just send it in to me. It'll happen, I guarantee you. And you'll see another example of that at the end of this episode. Because see here, I can link these things two together. These songs by Kirkby Kiss were recorded with Chris Pierce from School Drugs. Just so happens, the song I'm going to close this one out with is a song from School Drugs, who sent me an email as well. So, it all works out. So don't be shy. Send your songs in to dan@gettingitout.net, and I'll make sure they get some airtime one way or another. If it's on a playlist, if it's on a podcast, if it's on a radio episode, I'm going to give you some exposure as best as I can. All right, so let's just move right on along with the best crossover band ever from New Jersey that exists right now, Hot Zone.
Chicken! Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me! All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out! We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in, out!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're back again. Another episode of the podcast. So far in the last couple weeks, I survived 4th of July. No Jason Pierre-Paul moments. It's very good. I don't think I lit a single firework, which is the way to do it. That's the most American way to celebrate 4th of July. It's keeping all the limbs that Uncle Sam gave me. All right, so I did that pretty well. And then I went down to West Virginia for a few days to test that theory out. See, if you're a longtime listener to the podcast, you may remember that last summer, we took a trip to West Virginia, and it didn't go so well. We were there for 2 nights total, and on the first night, I went to the hospital, and on the second night, my wife went to the hospital. We both had pretty significant injuries, and then by the third day, we thought, that's it, we're out of here. That didn't happen this time. Worst injury was a splinter to my daughter. I fell down some stairs the first night I was there, so, you know, we tried. We did our best to get hurt and debilitated, but I think me falling down the stairs had more to do with a slippery case of steps, but mostly because I was drunk, and my daughter's splinter just came from, wood, because that's where splinters typically come from, though we did have a conversation about hair splinters, and some people seem to not think hair splinters are real, and I didn't think they were either. Until once I had to pull one out from my daughter's foot. And she said it was painful. It didn't look painful. It looked like a hair stuck under the skin. But I guess that could be painful. I don't know. But I know it happens. Other things that apparently happen now are billionaires going to the moon. Or not the moon. Space. Or not even space. Something that resembles space. I turned on the news this morning and just happened to come across this launch of Richard Branson, the well-known billionaire, going to space. I keep saying go to the moon. Going to space. And, I watched this fucking countdown. I watched this, show in anticipation for him going, launching to space. And he just went on and on and on. And then finally I went to pee. And then I came back and he was in space. You know, he wasn't there yet, but he had left. And I missed all the stuff. And that's the problem with countdown shows is that they keep you hanging. I mean, that's the whole idea. And then you go to pee for 1 minute, and suddenly a millionaire is in space. And that's what happened to me today. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he came back down. I don't believe it was supposed to be a long trip to space. But I know they had experts on there, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, going, is it space? No, it's not space. He's not actually going to space. But I think it's good that people go to space. And it got kind of confusing, though. He did show a good example with the globe and an apple about the moon and the distance between us and the moon. And I guess you had to see it to know what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to explain it well. I'm not even going to try. But it was pretty impressive. Apparently, Richard Branson only went up 2 dimes. That's all the two dimes stacked on each other. That's how far he went into space. And I feel like I go much farther than that into space every day. Even before I get out of bed. My house is 2 stories. How many dimes is that? I've been way farther in space than Richard Branson. Don't test me on that. That's a fact. All right, so as I mentioned on the intro, this episode features an interview with the fellas in Big Water. Originally, it was scheduled to be me and Matt, the drummer slash vocalist. And he told me right before we started that the other guys were sitting in, and that was great news. And we had a very fun chat. And sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, it's a little tough to have a chat with multiple people, especially when we're doing phone and I can't see them and they can't see me. So we did a very good job, I feel like, on this one. Hopefully you can hear them, and hopefully I don't get too loud for you. I think I did an okay job mixing that up, but we'll see, right? I'm never going to listen to this part from here on. From here on out, I had to rely on you, because I do not listen to my episodes anymore, all right? So I don't know what happens from here on out. I wonder how many times I air things where I tell the person I'm interviewing that I'm going to cut it out, and I don't. I bet it's pretty frequent. You can tell me if that happens. I'll feel a little bad about it, but also feel a little bit okay about it, because I don't get paid to do this. This is just fun, right? And nobody's saying anything too serious here. It's not like anybody's giving up secrets on UAPs, which is what we call UFOs now, apparently. I don't think that was a necessary change. Did we really have to do that? Unidentified flying object. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. I think unidentified aerial phenomenon makes it sound a little too grandiose. I don't think we need all that. Let's go back to the sketchiness. Let's go UFO, doctor. All right, anyway, that's enough for me. I'm gonna play you a song from Big Water off their album, and I'm all out of shit to fuck up. This one's called Fuck He Does Not.
Insects outnumber in species all the rest of the animal kingdom. Insects represent the highest grade of evolution among invertebrate animals. not only in terms of their complexity of structure, but also in their psychic development.
I'm Matt. I play the drums, and I do some of the yelling and big water. And then there's Punch and Steve with me as well, who do all the other things.
Awesome. Well, I wasn't expecting all three of you, but that's cool. I mean, until a minute ago when you told me that. But that works just fine.
Yeah, but, well, cool, awesome, yeah. I mean, I'd kind of drag them into being here, but, you know, because, like I said, I'll probably do most of the talking, but I figured I'd drag them along for the ride.
Yeah, no, it's better if you have an audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It'll make it less awkward for you.
Yeah, I have my own audience that I can make my own jokes for.
Yeah. See, it's working already. All right,
what's up, man? What you up to today?
Well, I just had to walk away from a movie with my wife and daughter. We're watching, they've been watching the Conjuring things, the movies, the series.
Oh, the newest one?
No. No, they went all the way back to the beginning, and like they're watching the 8 movies in succession as they're supposed to be done, right? And I've kind of just been coming and going, catching parts, and
catching pieces.
Yeah, and I just sat down to watch like the first half hour. And I walked away, but I thought that's a good segue to you guys, to Big Water, because Big Water, obviously you guys took your name from the 8th sequel of Land Before Time's Journey to Big Water, right?
Yeah, 100%. How did you know? Our secret.
It's the first thing I thought when I saw that name.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you, my friend. I don't really know how Big Water is Steve's thing. Steve came up
with
Big Water.
It was Blake's.
We had a vocalist before I joined the band, there was a vocalist. So I don't know, it kind of came around, and then when I came in and the band really like started doing things, just kind of stuck. And then we kind of nicknamed it because we just drink natural light, like a lot of natty light. Like we all have natural light in hand as we are speaking to you.
I was hoping you would.
Which you know, tastes like water. So we just, you know, kind of became that too. You know, natty lights are big waters for us. Then, you know, it just is what it is. So that's kind of the backstory, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what Blake really did with coming up with the name. I don't know.
Yeah, he loved it.
We were in it. He basically gave us the blessing. So me and Steven were like, sure, we're gonna keep it. And when we found Matt, you know, we had another drummer who shall not be mentioned. But
well, that's I'd say it's a little bit better than being named after the eighth sequel of Land Before Time, but because.
I don't know. That is pretty, you know, it's a very niche and interesting thing to be named after.
So. Yeah, but not if you like you Land Before Time 8, you know, like because then you should have named it after Land Before Time 8, not Land Before Time 9.
You should use Land Before Time 8.
It really went downhill at 6. Though.
Yeah,
you know, after 6, it just wasn't.
We should totally sample that movie.
Yeah, there's a great song about about Big Water. That's which gets stuck in my head every time I look at your band. I get the song.
We gotta sample that. Yeah, we gotta put that on the sampler. Well, I wish it was related to that. It would make our backstory a lot cooler. But unfortunately, it isn't as cool. Well, we're not all real hardcore dinosaur fanatics. I like the movie Jurassic Park, but you know we're doing the do.
That's good.
Big water is big water.
It's okay because the natural light inspiration is okay too. I spent a lot of years drinking natural light too, and it was only
amen.
Probably.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
A round of applause for our future. I got Natty Daddy here.
I gotta say, I did clean it up. It doesn't happen very often now, but until like about 2 years ago when I got married, and I finally moved out of Natty Light territory. But I got massive respect for it. You know.
Don't worry. If my girlfriend was seeing me drink Natural Light right now, she'd honestly probably be really upset.
Yeah,
she's a really fancy bartender, and she's like, it's just like not even allowed in my house. But here I am with the boys drinking my Natty Lights. So
no, okay, well,
I understand. You know, there's well, time and place for it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like I had to give it up when I quit smoking cigarettes too. You know, it's like
totally.
They went together so well.
Hey, congratulations there. Yeah, I feel that, man. Quitting smoking is tough. So kudos to you.
Same
here. So. Yeah, I totally understand. That's how I am with like car rides. It sucks because like I associated with that. So yeah, dude. But
let's keep going about natural light beer before we talk about your band more, because I need to know: are you guys ice fans at all, or is it only about light? And do you do the daddy? And what exactly is the daddy? Because I never bought a natty daddy.
Okay, we gotta go. I'll start with you, Punch. Because I have my
first off. Normally, just natural light. I mean, that's basic standard. I mean, you know, you just want to go run of the mill.
You got a $5 bill.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So something I know is going to taste decent, not good, but decent. I get that. If you really just want to get fucked up, then you go towards the ice. See, I haven't been needing to get that fucked up.
The ice is dangerous.
In years.
The ice is dangerous.
I'd rather just get like a 12-pack of Natty Light than a 6-pack of, you know, Natty Ice Tall.
Oh, yeah, that's hurt.
And as far as the Natty Daddy, I mean, I've only really got those things like one time.
You're just like asking to throw up with the daddy. Like, the daddy is really like...
$2 for a
6-pack. Because I remember like being 21 and doing the double Natty Ice like 16-ouncers, and those would like fuck me up and put me just worst headache ever kind of situation. So you gotta stay away from the malt. You know, you gotta stay away from the malt liquor. You know, the malt liquor will fuck with you hard.
Well,
so.
I think it's also worth being said. We're all a little older now.
Yeah, you know, time and place. Time and place.
You know, we're not saying natural light is an expensive drink, but we're saying that we can pitch in a little more money for a 6-pack of just some standard lights than an ice. You know, I'm not desperate here.
Yeah. No.
We have all been desperate.
Yeah, we've been there, but now I have a little more than that $5 cash in my pocket, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a deal you can't beat. But I got to tell you, I mean, you guys are from Missouri, right? Or you're in Missouri, I guess you should say. I don't know if that's where you're from.
Yeah.
But so
the city of Kansas, Missouri.
So wow,
1821.
Is that real? Do you have the real date?
Yeah, it's the town of, you know, the town of Kansas, which, if you, here's a fun fact, the city of Kansas was almost named Possum Trot, Missouri. That was one of the finalists for the names of the city. So think that's, about that.
I think that's a, that would have been Possum a, Trot. That would have been a way better move. Kansas City, that's not in Kansas.
The town of Kansas.
Exactly.
The town of Kansas was before Missouri became a state, and then Kansas tried to annex Kansas City, Missouri two times in the late 1800s, and then it's just a kind of a shit show from all there. It's kind of confusing. But yes, we are in Missouri. The natural light flows.
Anheuser-Busch,
it's just, it flows.
If it's one thing we got in Missouri, it's beer and cigarettes.
All right, so then, so then, are you familiar with Natty Bo?
Yes, from Baltimore.
Yes,
that's not really our. We don't really get that here, but yes,
we're familiar. Yeah.
Okay. Because I lived in Baltimore for many years, and Natty Bo was my beer. You know, that's the way. But of course, two different natties. But you can't walk into Baltimore and talk natty language and get a natty light.
Natty, what do you mean? Which is fun because it tastes like a PBR. I mean, to me,
yes.
I don't know how you describe it, but to me,
that's pretty similar.
Strong PBR,
yeah.
Type Lone Star taste for my Natty Bo.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. But anyway, I guess we might have exhausted the natty topic, but.
God bless. God bless. On to the next one, dude. Yeah.
All right. So, guys, I did actually have written down, but you already answered this. Are there two Kansas cities and why? But you covered that. So, I got to do some basic stuff. We're obviously talking because you are in Big Water, which we mentioned a couple of times. You're in Kansas City, but you just put out a new record. And I believe the abbreviated title, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is "And I'm All Out of Shit to Fuck Up."
That's correct.
And
it's the abbreviated title.
And it came out about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, on Reptilian Records.
Yeah, just a little more than a month ago now. It was a long, long journey. It was a
journey to Big Water, maybe another throwback to,
you know, no,
Land Before Time.
It was a journey. You know, putting out a vinyl record in these conditions has been a fucking trip. You know what I mean? It's been like a really tough thing. But we put it out, and it's cool to have it out. We've been, you know, like I said, waiting kind of a minute. And now we're just kind of like ready to go record new songs and do it all over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like some people were, you know, by the time the records are coming out now, they're already ready to move on. But before we get way into that, you already briefly told me a little bit about the Big Water history. But just give me the real basic shit here. When did you guys form? When did Big Water begin?
Yeah, this is on you, Steve.
Well, it was probably around the end of an old band I was in, Bad Dinner. We went on a tour and it had a sour ending. But we also wanted to keep doing music. And then we asked Punch to join us. It was me and the drummer of that band. We asked Punch to join and we got a vocalist. We played one show.
We played one show at my old house.
Yeah.
Until we played two shows at Lamp. But then...
Yeah. You played one show as... Fine dining.
Yeah.
And that was in the band.
That was
at my old house. That was at Chumbucket. And then we played the Bella Rose or the La Bella show.
Because
Big Water played that and then Blue Healer played it.
We played one time on my birthday at fucking Blind Tire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I don't even. But that must have been
that was 2018.
I do remember that. No, that was like with Ed Hockley or something, right?
Yeah.
It was like with Ed Hockley or
Swells.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was huge.
So, they had a brief life before I came in. And then I remember you asked me here at a party. I think it was at Thanksgiving or something like that. because I had known these guys for a while. And then
he agreed to do drums. And the vocalist we had, he has two kids, and so he was concerned about not being able to
be a dad,
just go on tour and everything like that, and he didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so
we just moved on from that, and
yeah, and then we that was just that. So that happened, I think, what, like 2017, probably.
I feel was like, it? Oh god, how?
It's been a while. It's been like, I think 2017.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was like a year after that, because that was the same year as Gun Band and stuff.
Guys, so it's been about 4 years ish, maybe.
Yeah, about like 4 or 5 years now. Yeah, I mean, it was like a little secret for all of us for a while.
Yeah,
you know, it was just kind of like this thing we were doing, and then we put out like a little tape, you know, but then just kind of kept pushing and kept doing it, kept practicing a lot, and just kept working, you know, and that, you know, we went on like a tiny little tour, and right before COVID came down, and you know, fucked everything up. So
giant wrench and everything.
Yeah, it just went kablooey. So yeah, I mean, it just has been like the ball is like set. It's like Katamari, you know, like where you were like you just keep rolling and like collecting shit. That's kind of just what's been happening. Because we all, I mean, Punch and I have our other band.
Yeah,
you know, Punch is in Canyons, and then I'm in Bummer. So like we got our own shit that we're doing.
And this is kind of like Steven's baby. So it's like,
this is like Steven's baby, you know what I mean?
We give our time to him as much as we can, too, you know?
So, but, you know, like, this is Big Water for us is like also just like an outlet. We're just like, you know, homies chilling who also happen to, you know, play rock music on the day that we hang out. Does that, you know, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, today
Tuesday night is usually our practice night. So we're like, we're going to go hang out and also play rock music, you know?
Right. Well, so like other than that, was there any like musical direction? Was there an intention when you started, like musically, we wanted to play music that sounds like this, or was it just here's what happens when we get together?
This man,
I just try making like screamo riffs, and then they just don't let it happen like that and make it sound like noise rock.
Steve plays these like crazy fucking riffs, and then I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
and then I try to make it like on a 4/4 beat. So,
and that's when I come in,
because we all
all together.
It's like if you dig like a little into like what Kansas City looked like when we were growing up, and like, you know, the late 2000s and like early 2010s, and like we were all living in house venues and having shows in our basement and playing. Steven was in Rep the Informer, which is like a pretty big screamo band, and like Punch has been in Canes forever. I mean, it was
notable, though.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's notable. It's not nothing.
But, you know, it's all like important stuff. So that's just like kind of been a sound that's like been associated with Kansas City.
Yeah, well, especially that ethos. I think we all have lived in show houses.
And now we're all don't live in show houses. We all have girlfriends and live in nice houses, and, you know, don't deal with people spray painting our basement and lighting stuff on fire. So, you know, and all the other crazy shit we could tell you. Big changes, you know what I mean? I mean, there's no real direction. I think it was just we played rock music, and it is kind of a clash, like Steven said.
We kind of have those arguments, if you will, down there. It's like, no, I think it should go like this. Well,
I'm always asking for blast beats, and then
seldom come.
Well, you mentioned the Kansas City scene, which kind of in a way, and I have no idea about it. So, tell me about what it was like then, like you mentioned, and what it is like now.
Well, back before our day, even
Molly Maguire, Boys Like,
Giant Sharon. All these historical Kansas City
just has a very specific sound to me. It's very,
I mean, it's all hardcore. Who would be? We just play hardcore.
It's all hard. I mean, but it is kind of like this real openness to it. Like it always is.
We're all
from the Great Plains. You know what I mean? Right. So, but I mean, growing up, it was. I'll definitely take another natty. growing up, I feel like you got, because Punch and Steve are older than me.
Thanks, asshole.
I'm just saying, like, you know, they're about Steve's like, I'm 26. Punch is,
I'll be 30 on this Saturday,
and then Steve's 31 on Friday,
and then yeah. Steve will be 30. Yeah, their birthdays actually are coming up right back to back. So
happy birthday! Weekend.
But
thank you.
And today is my daughter's birthday, so everybody gets a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to her! Congratulations.
Yeah. How old is she? She's 8.
Ooh, good year. Very creative year.
Right, yeah.
Very creative. A lot of questions. I remember that.
No, you don't, but anyway.
But yeah, I mean, so growing up, like, we all kind of were in the similar thing. We were in the era where it was, like, the Three Houses era, which is, like, if you pay attention to, like, Kansas City geography, like, Troost is, like, a major street and also, like, a big dividing line between the city. It's where, like, a lot of redlining happened in, like, the 40s and 50s. But everybody kind of used to live in this pocket of the city. And there was, like, the Grab Yard. There was the Asshole Castle. There was the Mannheimen. And just, like, a bunch of other places, you know, that we all grew up playing. Like,
and
you know, like,
before that,
Dollhouse, Bad House, Dedo's Barn. Like, there was just, like, an ethos of, like, DIY culture that really was big here.
I think we just hated the bar scene.
Yeah, the bars just
sank, you know, like, which now, I mean,
Missouri's very strict on, like, all ages shows, right, ever since like the 90s. You know, they really cracked down in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
And now we're older, so we could just get into the bar.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what were the restrictions on all ages shows? Because like, I grew up in Pennsylvania, but also, like, right above the Maryland line. So I would go down to Baltimore for lots of shows, and their all ages shows, there was, you had no idea. Like, it didn't matter what bar it was at. Everybody was mixed together. People were drinking right beside you. But here in Pennsylvania, there was, like, dividers, and you had to be on, like, separate floors and shit.
It was never like, you would get the big old X's.
But then it changed because, like, the Kansas City Bar Association made the move that it wanted to have the bars, like, be more involved with their liquor license. So there are some venues that could be 18 and up, but they completely, like, eliminated all these shows.
It's a matter of, like, money, really. It's, like, only bigger venues could really get permits to have underage people attending. And so people that book bands, we know, obviously, don't have money, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, it just kind of turned into, like, friends helping friends and, like, establishing network. You know, those are, like, the early days of, like, what social media was and, like, using the internet and, like, using DIY tour booking shit and, like, you know, and playing in basements, no code enforcement, like, nobody cared, you know.
Or getting shut down by the fucking
cops. Yeah, you know, it just was a different time back then. We all kind of grew up in that, like, playing in bands in high school and then growing into it, booking our own shows, living in those houses,
going on tours,
the tours that we booked on our own.
Yeah, right.
We've all been through the fucking ringer, so it's just kind of like, this band is, like, a collection of, like, years of just, like, we know what the bullshit is.
Yeah.
So that's, like, why we've really tried to do this band right and, like, take time to, like, put our record out through a label, do wax, like, fucking, you know, just try to be, like, presentable and real and, like, you know, despite the shit that we say, you know, we have to have our own flavor.
Do you feel like you needed to do those other bands and go through that other shit to be able to do Big Water like this? Like, you know, like the is it more enjoyable now than it was before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But I would say I never, like, when I, you know, wanted to hang out with Steven and start playing bass or whatever, I never thought of it like that, per se, but it's definitely one of those things that you look back on and you're like, yeah, this is why this really works. is because I can tour with these guys and I don't have to fucking worry that he's going to be fucking drunk in a bush or broke and have $3 left next week. You know,
fucking like bailout, like a fucking, you know.
So to me, it's like I never was expecting that, but for sure, it definitely became a more attractive sight as the longer we're in the band, and especially after, you know, recording and releasing stuff, you know.
That's not the easiest tour I've ever been on.
Yeah, thanks, man. I can say that. I
mean, ever been on it. Like, it's just like, you know, you have three of your friends that you really trust, and three of your friends also very much understand what it means to, like, play a show that you maybe made, like, $20 on, you're going to sleep on somebody's floor, and drink the cheapest whiskey that is available,
hours.
You know, and drive, like, 10 hours the next day, you know? So we all know what that life is. And we all know what that life is, and that's what makes it really important, is everybody's very willing to pitch in when it comes to doing that work. Because I think we've all been in bands where there are some people that just, like, are there to show up, and they don't really put in a lot of that work. So this band, it really is, like, a very equal effort between everybody to, like, show up and do what we need to do to get shit done.
Well, it also sounds like that you guys understand context and have realistic expectations, and you know what you're doing. You know, like, there's that idea a lot of, I don't give a fuck what kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, extreme underground music, whatever fucking genre you want to tag it as, where people, like, start, when people start.
Hardcore this, hardcore that.
Yeah, when they when they start and they think everything is just going to, every show is going to be wild, and every, you know, and everything is just going to be, you know, wild. And it's just not, some of it's really boring and depressing. And it takes, it takes a little bit of a getting beaten down to really be able to enjoy it. And I think that's a weird thing that I've definitely noticed. Of course, I'm 36 and I've been, you know, around all this stuff forever and have done countless interviews at this point with people in bands that, if this conversation kind of comes up a lot, where it's like, the older you get, kind of, I wouldn't say the more fun it gets, it becomes a different kind of fun, because there's the expectations are lower, and but they're also more realistic, and you just
able to,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah, it all just kind
totally
of
it's totally.
I mean, we all had, I think, like, when you're younger, like, those tours where it was like, this is, you know, you are really young, like, this is some crazy shit you're doing, and you look back on them, they're cool, but, like, it is nice going on tour and knowing, like, the van works, our gear works,
right, we know,
like, where we're gonna stay, if we have to sleep in the van, we're comfortable with that, we've done it before, you know, like, if we've gotta make a long drive, we know how to take shifts, we know who's gonna sleep in the back. It's just, like, having that mindset of, we all know what it means to road dog, is kind of like the ideal. It's like, that's kind of like what the ethos is really behind this band, and a lot of the shit that you, like, a lot of that record on, like, I'm All Out of Shit to Fuck Up, is just such, the song titles are from situations like those, you know, like, just, those are about real life situations, and just, like, working through them and shit like that.
I got you. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that record a little bit. How long ago was this record written? And is this a pandemic record? Or
I was working on shit the day we were in the studio.
I mean, there are probably songs that were on there that you had for a very long
time. Steve was probably had them the longest, and then Matt. It's kind of how we work. It's weird. Steve will have them, and then Matt will fucking flesh them out, and then I will come along behind and kind of feel out the timing, if you will.
It was like a long working process, because I mean, like, it, with anything, when it comes with the first LP, and like, also our first LP happened to be like 14 tracks long, you know, I mean, a lot of people, what, you know, I don't know, it just was like a collection, and our idea with it is, because we've been in so many bands that have also just put out EPs and splits, and, you know,
you never get anywhere,
so it's just like, we have this ethos to kind of like say, like, yeah, we're just going to put a record with, like, a lot of songs. So we actually recorded 12 songs in November of 2019. So almost about a year and a half ago, we recorded all those songs.
Yeah.
And then we cut one of them, and then we added three tracks
from some electronic stuff that we worked on. So yeah, I mean, there are some songs there that are old, like to us, you know what I mean? But they are, you know, like very new to other people. So it's always very interesting to think about, because now the record took a while to come to fruition because we didn't want to settle on just like putting it out digitally. Like, we wanted to do it right and like get a label to do it on vinyl. Like, we wanted to feel it in our hands. So, you know, it was a long process. But in the end, you know, like, here we are.
Yeah. Here you are. And here you are on one of like the biggest noise rock record labels that, I mean, in my opinion, Reptilian is where I'm going if I want some noise rock shit, right? And always, I mean, yeah, always, I mean, has been.
Page 99, and they did
Chatpile.
They did Chatpile. They did Flagmatic. They did Super Team. You know, it's Faking. Yeah, I mean, like, Chris has definitely done some really cool stuff. So it's cool to like know that it happened and they were here. And
well, how did you get there? How did you end up with Reptilian? How did you end up with Chris X?
I just emailed the dude. I met Chris at No Coast Fest 2019 when Bummer went down and played there. Because Bummer, you know, is like the other, you know, really my baby. Right?
Yes,
know,
like, I'm familiar with Bummer. Yeah.
Baby. So, like, I was down playing with that, and I met Chris, and I talked with him, and I bought a Page 99 record from him. I think it was document 9. I don't remember.
Yeah, right.
But regardless, yeah. it was a black and red one. I can't remember. But, and then, I don't know, just kind of years later, we recorded that record. We got it mastered, and it was, like, right before quarantine hit. So, like, we did this little tour, like, the summer beforehand, and then we recorded that record, got it mastered, and then I was sending it to a bunch of people. I think I sent it to, like, Middleman, I sent it to Hex, and then I sent it to Chris. And Chris was the first one to say, like, he was interested in doing it. But then it kind of got lost track of, like, the whole summer. So then I hit him up again in, like, September, I think. And then that's kind of finally when the ball started getting rolling. And then we had some issues along the way with that, with, like, the master. The master was all kind of, like, screwed up and, like, way overly compressed. And we asked the guy who did it to fix it, and he pretty much just sent like an email that
fuck you.
That literally just, yeah, it just kind of said like, fuck you. Here's why you're wrong, but on a technical level.
Yeah.
And it was just really shitty, and like, I felt bad that like Chris had to fucking, you know, deal with that. And so we got it remastered by Eric Victor.
Shout out.
And then it finally like made its way into the press, and we got the art done by Josh Wilkinson, and you know, and it finally came about. But it really definitely was like a long, long process, if that makes any sense. So it took a while. There's just been a lot of hiccups, but it's here, you know, it happened, it's out. We're excited that it's doing, you know, we're excited that it's out. We're proud of some of these songs. But it's, you know, like within that, we wrote a new LP waiting for this one to come out. So we've just been like really ready to like play some shows on this record and then like go do some more stuff and just like keep rocking in the free world.
Well, I gotta give the guy who told you guys to fuck off a little bit of credit. That's just a strong email move. I mean, you know, not that I think he's right all.
No,
power move. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Kind of was like, hey, no, like, here's why you're wrong on a technical level. Like, it was kind of crazy. Like, here's literally why you, sir, are wrong for even bringing that up. And I'm going to explain it to you with decibels and hertz and like all this crazy shit.
I bet he has at least three kids. That just feels like, it just feels like someone who's, you know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But it was kind of one of those things. It just didn't, you know, it just unfortunately was like one of those situations that turned kind of sour. And it happened. We, you know, unfortunately, like, you know, it was like $400 down the drain, but shit happens. So, yeah, it's just the, like,
it was a journey to get this shit, you know.
Time on the split.
Yeah, but
he did. One of the songs he did made it.
We're not gonna name names, but if you're smart enough to read, anyone who listens to this, that the song on the split is mastered by
him. Yeah, because those are all done in the same section.
Which he has done some good stuff for us in previous things in the past, but just this time, just that fuck you email was like, what? Like, that was a big one.
Yeah, so it kind of was rough, and getting that, it was just, there was definitely some hiccups, like, over the winter, but, you know, like I said, here it is, in our hands, and it's out, and now it's like, you know, we got a show on Sunday, we're playing on July 4th, like, so, you know, it's just kind of weird, like, it's, okay, like, back.
Well, I would say this would be, I don't know, everybody's got huge record delays right now, so, I mean, even without that. Yeah. Who gives a shit? I mean, in a good way. Like, it worked. It's taken everybody forever to put out records right now, usually just due to pressing issues. But still, the fact that, you know, it got done, it's kind of getting done at the right time, or got done at the right time.
Yeah, I mean,
that's weird. I was kind of mentioning that. I'm like, you know, it kind of gives you that. I mean, you think about, you know, someone who does a record cycle or whatever, you know, maybe we didn't get to tour on it for a year and a half, but still, like, we still got a year and a half out of it, and we got another record ready to go. You know, it's like, you can't be mad at that either, so.
No, well, just the fact that it's out now, and now people are finally able to play shows and shit. So
it gives you the ability to play. Yeah, you know, and sell your record not only through mail order, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I love shipping and all, but, like, you know, it's cool, like, hand someone something and they just give you cash and I don't have to go to the post office. That's pretty cool.
The post office is the worst place in America, and it's owned by America.
I mean, I've got respect. Well, they don't get the funding they do ever since that new guy came in. You know, it's a pinnacle of our society, and it, you know, I treat it with the respect it deserves. And my post office.
Oh, man, you are a fan of shipping, aren't you?
The one on Truth is fucking terrible. The one That one is awful, man. But, like, okay, which kind of just disproves my point. But the one on 63rd.
The one on 63rd is so fucking nice.
Oh, my God. I love that dude. He's in there. I bring records to that dude all the time, and he's just like, another record to ship out? And he's like, I'll be careful with it. Now, every time, he's a gentleman. So I have mad respect for the 63rd post office.
He goes back behind the curtain and goes,
Do they ever question your use of media mail?
Oh, fuck no. And what's recently is very interesting is I have learned that this shit is real. Like, I've used media mail because I worked at a record store for a really long time, so I use media mail for a lot and pretty much for everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had people be like, yo, like, no, like, that is, you can get actually, like, in a lot of trouble if you're using media mail and there's not any media in it. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, most of the time I ship media mail, it has media in it.
Yeah.
I usually have spare blank CDs I just put in there in case they check. But I knew someone who actually got in trouble. Like, this other record store person that my old boss Judy knew, she's like, someone got in trouble for using media mail. They opened it up and it was like a T-shirt, and they were like, "This doesn't count as media." But I have never had anyone question me for media mail. So.
I had someone question me recently, and it wasn't all media. But they asked, "Is this all books?" I was like, first of all, it's records. Second of all, yeah, even though it was like T-shirts and stuff too, But that made me think, like, are they going to cut this thing open? And I don't know if the person ever got it either. So, who knows? But I wonder.
Seriously, for
yeah,
real.
That's what's weird.
I've been waiting on a package that I haven't received. It said it was delivered. I'm like, I know my neighbor's going to know.
Yeah.
I know they fucking want to say something.
But that is weird, because it's just like, I mean, that was the kind of situation I've seen before, where it was like a T-shirt that was shipped with it, and then like a CD, and they're like, you can't ship this T-shirt with it, it's not media. But it's like, well, you're shipping the CD with it, so that's like media.
And then I realized, like, oh, yeah, you definitely can get in a lot of trouble for doing that, which is hilarious.
I'm breaking the postal law or whatever, but I just can't imagine the repercussions are too serious. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but it's just a risk I'm willing to take at this point. Everything is media mail. You know, if it's in a box, it's in media mail.
Let them come get you. Yeah, exactly. They got no funding. I mean, that's probably why they're coming and get you. They're trying to. They're like, man, I need this motherfucking money. But I mean, the post office is the post office. I'm excited to like sell the record and play shows. What the fuck are you laughing at so hard over here? I just said, give me my damn money.
I need this motherfucking money. I'm real. That's how the post office is acting.
Yeah.
With that media mail. It's just not media. I need my motherfucking money.
Yeah, like, it's first class, motherfucker. Exactly right.
That's what. This is a long tangent on the post office, but I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man. Bless the post office. I hope they get the proper funding and, you know, leadership they deserve.
Another thing about being, like, an older statesman, if you will, in, like, band stuff or record label media, any kind of shit like that, you learn about you, when you're 18, who gives a fuck about the shipping? Who gives a, you know, yeah. You're like, man, that fucking post office is robbing me blind. You know,
you're just like, God, the government's fucking me over one more time. Damn it. it'll be nice to like play shows, just, you know, like, just be around shit, have fun, drink a beer, hang out with people, talk to someone you haven't seen in a year and a half. Meet someone you haven't met. Have a homie stay at your house after a show and, like, get drunk up and stay up till 4 in the morning and cook chicken that's soaked in, like, Natterday, you know, like, do some crazy shit.
Which Natterday?
Like,
I just noticed yesterday that they have Natterday with, like, pineapple and something else.
Not that one.
I haven't tried that one yet.
Really good story. There's a good story when Exhalants played in Kansas City, and we made chicken. We, like, marinated rye. Chicken. We rye chicken with fucking, with the Natterday strawberry lemonade, and honestly, it was, like, really fucking good. It's a great story.
It's a good drink. There was a couple years ago. I grabbed a couple cases from Natterday at my local beer distributor because they had them on sale for 24 for $7. They were expired.
Oh yeah,
but that was fine.
That sale, yeah, where yeah. They were like not selling and they were yeah. like giving those motherfuckers away.
We hit that too.
Yeah, what'd you think, though? What did you think of the strawberry lips? What did you think of them?
Can I
get a review from you?
Just the Natterday? I think it's a refreshing summer drink.
Okay, I mean, I do too. I do too, very much so. You get a couple of those in there, though, and then it's like, oh, man.
I'm going back to Natty.
Yeah, it's like they have too much sugar in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. You're talking two max.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, this man understands. Like, you get two in you, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get a headache. I already know
that." No, that's what I call supplemental beers. I do this so I drink. Like right now, what do I got in front of me? I got one in front of me that's it says 7.5%, and that's about my usual level. Ooh. Right.
Okay. This is a craft beer here. What kind of brand we drinking here?
I'm a little bougie with the beer now. This is a.
Okay, that's fine. That's understandable. We like to get that have a wife. That's understandable. I couldn't walk in the house with the case.
Well, this see even this is considered supplemental. This is what I'm talking about. Like yesterday, I went to the Sheets, the gas station up here. I was like, all right, we need some supplemental beers because I can't drink the 8 to 9 percenters all the time, right? You can't do that all night. So I had like one of those earlier today, and then now I'll move on to this. So I'll pick up like, you know, so I picked up like the Natterday as supplemental. You just have them because Because the percentage is low. It's low. It's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's low. It's a sweet.
Well,
it's nice.
Keep going.
Yeah. You know, it's like an elevation thing. It's good when it's hot out, you know.
Right. But I got a cooler of these 8 and 9%. I don't want to drink them all night long. I just want to have one or two.
Yeah.
And then I still want to keep drinking. Like, but I don't want to keep drinking a high percentage. So
yeah,
I got
this. Then you're fucked up.
Yeah, and it's Tuesday.
3 hours into that,
right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
I understand. That's why I can't get behind them IPAs. They're fucking just... I see people drink like 3 or 4 of those. Yeah, I'm like, you just drank like 8 regular beers. Like, what is wrong with you? You know?
It's all about taste. I mean, what, you know, whatever defines your taste.
That's true.
You know?
I'm just not an IPA guy. You know, I like a...
I get
anything
it.
But that. I mean, I'll drink it.
I get it. I've been on every part of the spectrum, so I respect it all. But I get.
Yeah,
I mean,
beer's beer. Alcohol, you're gonna get fucked up.
Well,
people been finding a way to get
on the
fucked
season,
up. Yeah.
You know, summer you want some cold. You know, it starts turning into fall, winter. You want that brown beer. You know, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
Real
that you, that's what you want. You know.
Yeah, it is not.
You don't
cold.
Want nothing thin.
I want that American light gold crisp.
Well, that dunkel. I mean,
yeah, that's what the Dunkel is a good shit.
The
yeah, the beer company shit. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you can tell that we enjoy alcohol.
Yeah.
We enjoy consuming it. We enjoy conversing about it.
Likewise.
We enjoy defending. You know. So yeah, I mean, amen to that. As we're just, you know, 3 guys drinking beers on a Tuesday. 4 guys.
Wait a minute. It's not Tuesday, though.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Shit, it
I
is Wednesday.
Up,
I thought
up,
it was
I fucked
Tuesday.
Up last night, son.
I have no
time. But same shit. It's literally, we're, like you said earlier, we're 3 friends that hang out. We so happen to be in a band together.
Yeah, you know, like, we, you know, we sit here and watch baseball. Or hockey.
Wait
or
a minute.
Basketball.
You don't. Well, hold on a second. You said you watch baseball. Now I know you guys are lying the whole time. You know, nobody actually watches baseball.
My brother played AAA for Milwaukee and Kansas City.
Yeah.
So baseball's kind of bred into my blood.
We
watch baseball.
we watch every sport.
Hey, you know, okay. Hey, I got you. Hey, Dan, you know John Means, right? He pitches for the Orioles, right?
I don't, but I would say I do.
He pitched. Okay, I know John Means personally. That's my brother's best friend. So, like, I know that dude personally.
Okay.
I've gotten drunk with that motherfucker so many times. Like, that's the kind of shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've watched that dude get drunk, like, fucking hella drunk. So, it's kind of cool to know that, like, that dude pitched a no-hitter. And
that I am aware of the guy. That was earlier this year, right?
Yeah, that guy.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Like... That is like, baseball just kind of like runs with that. But like, yeah, it's my brother's best friend. So he does like financial analysis shit for a bunch of baseball and football players now and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like in our blood. We go to Monarchs games a lot.
Well,
games a lot, you know?
I myself am also a sports fan. Philadelphia sports, usually the Eagles, the Sixers. But I saw.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm real sorry.
Don't bring it up.
Trey Young.
Don't bring it up. Don't even.
I'm sorry.
Start.
I'm sorry. I understand.
Don't even.
We don't even have a basketball team.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. What do you?
We want one so bad, please.
Well, you can have. You can start one with Ben Simmons. How about that? We'll give you Ben Simmons. You can start one with him. That piece of shit, total pussy.
Patrick Mahomes will find us someone better.
Patrick Mahomes is probably better than Ben Simmons.
But yes, we like sports.
We are sports. Some people are not sports, like especially in music. Like music and sports, honestly, don't cross that much.
Yeah,
especially music
like this, music that, you know, anybody like us would like, usually sports.
No, yeah.
Sports is frowned upon. But like, when I saw the picture of you guys all in Chiefs gear, I was like, well, I don't know if they're just, I genuinely was like, I don't know if they're just being
that's
ironic.
Because we were on a run.
Yeah, we were on a run. We were on a goddamn run.
We won the Super Bowl that year.
We did.
We won the Super Bowl that year.
So that's a little bit about the age of the whole thing entirely.
But yeah. Like, the next album, we're going to do all Royals gear, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
in the swamp.
And, yeah.
In the swamp.
So,
are the Royals still a team?
The Royals are still a team. They're still kicking it, baby.
Wow.
They have a losing record right now. They're like 30. I think they're like 34 and 40 or something right now.
That's okay, because baseball has 300 games.
We lost a lot of games. Yeah. Hey, we won a World Series, okay? We won to 1985, 2015. That was a good World Series. I'll defend our boys. But, yeah, we all recently all went to a Royals game. Steve did went to a different night.
Yeah, me and Matt have already been to two or three.
Yeah,
we went to two games.
We went to a Royals game, and then we went to the Independent League game, the American Association team we have here called the Kansas City Monarchs. So we went to one of those games, but it was a great game.
Well, you know, really
drunk.
Missouri used to be the answer to one of my favorite sports trivia questions. When you'd sit around at the bar and you'd say, okay, there are, I forget what the number was, but I think it was like seven. You'd say, okay, there are seven states with two football teams. This isn't the case anymore, obviously. You know this.
Oh, no.
But nobody would ever say it was Missouri. Because
Kansas City.
I don't know.
Kansas.
People,
everyone thinks it's fucking Kansas. It's not.
Yeah. Learn your geographical history. The town of Kansas was established before the state of Missouri was established. Put it as a state.
That's hilarious though, because I know Matt, you love the Rams.
I was a big Rams fan for a while. I grew up really in loving the Rams because when my brother and I played Madden, he would always be the Chiefs, so I would be the closest team. I would always be the Rams. And I loved Kurt Warner.
I loved Kurt Warner.
Because I really liked – and then Kurt Warner was, like, a big inspiration for me because I also really liked arena football and still do to this day. And Kurt Warner obviously played for the Iowa Barnstormers. So that was a big thing for me.
Barnstormers!
Yeah. So, who are still a team to this day?
Well, you know, we got a Barnstormers here too. We got a Lancaster Barnstormers, which is our local baseball team. So we got Barnstormers here too.
Great name. I love the Barnstormers.
Yeah, Barnstormers is just an old, you know, it's a classic thing.
Good name. But anyway, you would always.
I love the Rams, and the Governor's Bowl was always really fun to watch because they'd always have the preseason game. It was always the third preseason game of the year, and it was the Chiefs versus the Rams, and it was
me.
It was always like just a really fun thing to watch.
I'm the same way. I where I lived.
Fuck Stan Kroenke. Like,
fuck that guy, dude.
He fucked over the city of St. Louis so hard.
Where I lived in the middle of Missouri, Marshall was halfway between St. Louis and halfway between Kansas City.
Yeah.
We always went for Kansas City, but, you know, Kansas City got out. Like, fuck St. Louis.
I mean, we got, yeah. But
no, that's
got,
still
you
know, our thing. You know,
it's like when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. We were like, yeah, all right,
that's my third team in hockey, and I'll be the first team. Yeah. It's my number three.
Yeah. It's not ours, but it will take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll take it, you know.
I feel similarly about Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh Steelers have won a lot of Super Bowls, but I'm an Eagles fan. That doesn't mean shit to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you're a Philly fan. You're a Flyers fan?
No, I'm American, so I don't care about hockey.
Oh.
I'm one of those guys.
Well, you're from Philly, so did you ever watch Arena? Did you ever watch Philadelphia Soul games?
No, because I hate Bon Jovi.
They won like four championships.
Bon Jovi owns that team. I don't do anything with Bon Jovi.
Yeah, Bon Jovi owned that team. Yes, he did. They won like four championships. Clint Dozell coached that team. Don't talk to me. I need to stop talking about arena football. You're talking like for an hour about that shit.
That's my sport, man. The only fact I know about arena football is that John Bon Jovi owned that team. So I got to take it back. I like John Bon Jovi. So I kind of lied there a little bit. I was just trying to talk shit.
You know, I mean, we love Bon Jovi. I ain't gonna lie, that's pretty good.
It rocks.
It's just good. I don't care. Our parents had sex to it. That's fine.
Out of
Arrowhead Stadium. They probably fucked after that concert. And honestly, God bless them. You know, they deserved it. I'd fuck after a Bon Jovi concert. I probably feel
before.
Why wait? Yeah.
Before and after.
Well, in the band. In the band.
Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, just three dudes just fucking around. Love sports, you know. We just like to talk about everyday life, and we just kind of put that in our records, you know. Our records are just about situations we've been in, and we just try to like look at the band as just like a way to escape what we're doing and have some fun and play some rock music while we're at it, you know.
Well, maybe that'll answer the last question I was going to ask here. And we'll wrap it up after this one. But what is, and you might have just answered it, like I said, what is your favorite part about being in Big Water?
I mean, yeah, we just get to hang out every week and play rock music and joke around and, yeah, just chill. And, you know, it's just, like, real low-key because, like, Punch with Canyon and me with Bummer, like, there's so much, especially, like, me with Bummer, there's, like, so much more and moving parts and, like, that's a lot of shit I gotta like be, you know, like stressed out about and like getting shit taken care of. And when I get to come here and hang out with these dudes, it's like everybody's pulling their weight.
It's worth being said that you're just kind of the talk to guy.
Yeah, I just am the one that does the email.
Yeah, like you know, Sony has to be the guy, and that's every band. So
and I'm good at that. Dude.
Matt's just good enough to do that for us too, and he also does it for his own band.
Yeah. So. But it's just not, I mean, it's just, we get to hang out. Like, I'm hang out with some of my best friends and, like.
No, we are truly friends. And I've always said it, and I'll say it till the day I die. I can't be in a band with people that I can't hang out with. If I can't, you know, if I can't stand to be around you, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, it's just like, you know what I mean? I think that goes back to the question we answered earlier. It's like, you know, when you grow older, you realize these things. Like, it's not worth it to play with people you don't want to play with. Hang out with your friends. And, like, if that shit just doesn't work, it doesn't work. And, like, that's kind of the beauty of it is, like, we get to get together every week and just, like, jam and, like, let out this stuff and, like, really, like, equally collaborate on this kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, like, it can be low-key and we don't get as much done because of that, but at the same time, like, you know, like, we're just kind of, you know, we're taking it, like, one step at a time, and that's just what this band is about.
I think our steps are bigger than people who, you know, sometimes they get together more often than we do and don't connect on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're taking little steps in this now. We're taking giant leap.
Yeah, we're just trying to, like,
we know each other, you know, it's kind of that thing.
We know how this shit works, but then we also know what to expect, and that's kind of like why we're trying to be bigger than like what we've done before. Like, we want, like we did with this record, it's just like taking the time to like do it right. Don't cop out, don't take shortcuts, just like do it right, be patient, like make sure all the pieces are in place. Like, that's just kind of been like the idea behind this band. You know, we're adults and like, let's treat the bands like, you know, like something that we can like invest in and like take time with. So,
well, I think that's a great answer. And obviously from this conversation, I can tell you guys are having a lot of fun doing this. I mean, I feel like we barely talked about the record, but that's okay because we talked about a lot of shit that I find amusing.
We talked a lot about Natural Light, and God, honestly, that's probably just as good as talking about the record.
Yeah, you know, it's a high bar. That's a high bar to set, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right,
well,
fellas.
If you want to go listen to the record, you know.
Yeah, if you want to listen to the record, you can go to our band camp and our social media. You can do that. It's a record. It's a rock record. It sounds like rock music with yelling and riffs.
If you like us, if you want to come hang out with us.
Yeah, call me. Email me.
Just call you.
You can come hang out on our porch, and we'll drink some beers.
All right, fellas. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me. I had a lot of fun on this one, and I do really like And I'm All Out of Shit to Fuck Up, which we should go over real quick. Is out now on Reptilian Records, and they can buy it either at your Bandcamp or from Reptilian Records, I believe. So
yes,
I don't know. If there's anything else, feel free. But if that's it, thank you, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say thanks, Dan. Thanks for having us on, man. Yeah. We had a good time. I'm glad we could have a good laugh, make you laugh. That's, like, what it's all about. But, you know, Big Water is half a band and honestly half a fucking comedy group half the time. That's the bullshit that we do. But, yeah, man, thanks for chatting with us, man. Go watch The Conjuring with your wife and fucking see some scary shit.
I'm going to go catch the credits right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the best part of that movie. Yeah, man. Hey, man, Dan, like I said, pleasure talking to you, man. You have a good one, man. We appreciate it.
Same, guys. All right, take care, bro.
All right, man. Peace.
See you.
Try. It's going to be close. Roberts makes a tremendous lead.
Have it. That was my conversation with the fellas in Big Water. The song you just heard was Four Horse Girls of the Apocalypse off of And I'm All Out of Shit to Fuck Up, out now on Reptilian Records. You can go buy that on their Bandcamp page, as I just mentioned, as I just did as well. So yeah, what else do I need to tell you about? Nothing, but I want to thank those guys for coming on and having that chat again. It was a good time. I had fun with them. Not very many people can talk sports, music, and beer, and not have it be like about the fucking Eagles or Pearl Jam or something. So I appreciate that. What's happening coming up on Getting It Out Podcast? I don't know. Calendar is clear. As I approach 200, I have lowered my expectations and workload significantly. I'm putting less into this thing than ever. And the results of that remain to be seen. Truthfully, though, the Monday releases just catch me off guard each week on Sunday evenings. I'm like, oh shit, I got to do a podcast, because with summer being here and our activity levels at an all-time high, vacations, plans, things happening, that sometimes the release date of the podcast sneaks up on me, but I suspect nobody really gives much of a shit about that, despite what we've all been told. If you're into podcasting or doing a podcast, you've probably been told like consistency is like the most important thing, and that's the one thing that I've held true. But for what? I don't know. There's nothing to really show for it. So I'm starting to kind of think that's kind of bullshit, and the people that like your show will listen to your show no matter when it comes out, no matter what day of the week it comes out, no matter if it comes out once a month, twice a month. You know, it doesn't matter. There's podcasts that I listen to that release whatever the fuck they feel like it, and I'm still going to listen to every new episode they put out. And there's podcasts that I like that they release stuff every week, and I do not listen to them every week because I listen to the stuff with guests that I like. You know, and that's what I suspect most people do with Getting It Out podcasts, especially when I look at the numbers. My scope is really broad as far as what genres I cover. It's all extreme, underground, whatever you want to call it. But like this episode, noise rock. Next one's probably going to be hardcore, or maybe not. Maybe it'll just be rock and roll. Maybe it'll be death metal. Who gives a shit, right? That's the way I listen to music. So that's the way I do this podcast too. But I understand that that's not the case for everybody. And sometimes I pick bands who are a little less well known, not known at all, maybe even, and that doesn't get a lot of plays. But I don't mind, because that's kind of the whole point of this whole thing, and that's a lot of what gettingitout.net is going to be like whenever that finally fucking exists. Who knows? One day, eventually, maybe. Don't worry, I've had the domain name for fucking 2 years. I just don't have the podcast to show for it. It will happen though. Still working on it. Hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully it lives up to the hype of a year and a half long tease. But until then, you can go follow @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast, Twitter @gettingitoutpod. And I think that's it. That's about all I use. I don't even touch that fucking Twitter, to be honest, but it exists. It is there, and it does auto posts from Instagram. So that's going to be it for this one. As I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to end this one with a track from School Drugs. These guys are from New Jersey. This song is called Plastic Promise. It's off of Visitation, their upcoming 7-inch, due out July 23rd. Until then, enjoy this song. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.